Welcome to the Geek Psychology Podcast. This podcast comes from the Geek Psychology YouTube channel, where we use personality type and geek and gaming culture to help you play life better. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being you. And I hope you enjoy the show. If you're an INFP who has a ton of ideas but doesn't really know what to do with them, or you get overwhelmed with so many different possibilities, this video will help you out. What's up, legend? Sherman here from Geek Psychology, where I help you use your personality type's strengths to live a more fulfilling and meaningful life where you can be happy, you can embrace your personality type, and actually like it. Sounds like a pretty good thing, right? So I know that as INFPs, we often get into this struggle where we have so many ideas, and it's just like, where do I even start? I have thousands and thousands of notes of different ideas, different projects that I could work on. I've learned through that, though, that there are meaningful ways that I can streamline my creative process so that I can actually get things done and make forward momentum in my life. So if that sounds like something that you want to do, let me talk about a couple key aspects, and then I'll go into four hacks that you can use to enhance your INFP creativity and actually get more of what you want done in your life. So the first concept that we need to think about is to choose focus over fragmentation. So I know that as INFPs, how our psyche is structured, okay? Our dominant function is introverted feeling. This is a refining decision-making process based off how we feel about things, our conscience, our values, our identity. We're sifting through all this and trying to make sense of a decision based off who we are and what we want, what resonates with us. This is why I call it the resonating soul, as a character within your quest, your psyche's questing party. So that's refining. But then our mentor within our psyche, our supportive function, our auxiliary function, is technically called extroverted intuiting. And what I refer to it as within the RPG model is the innovating explorer. This is that idea battery, that brainstorm heavy character that just wants to like pick up a shotgun and run out and chase new exciting beasts, go explore new possibilities, set loose. That really excitable energy is great, and it feels good to explore and it feels good to play with. But with that comes this fragmentation, because introverted feeling, the resonating soul, is a naturally pretty slow process. It takes time to like sift through it and say, like, does this really sit well with all facets of my identity? This small decision about what to eat tonight, does it really fit? And then the explorer's like, well, just go try everything. It'll be fun. With that struggle of being slow and wanting to explore all these other things, we often find ourselves fragmented and not focused. So one way of enhancing your focus is to know clearly what is important to you. Identify your values. Give them a name. Give them a label, a picture, a sound, a kinesthetic feeling. Where do you feel that value of creativity, of happiness, of growth, of grit? Where is that within your body? What does it look like? Once you've defined it, then you can more actively live into that. And this is not one of the hacks that I'm going to talk about later, but it's an important focus that we talk about within the INFP masterclass, infp.geekpsychology.com, if you're interested in going faster on the self-development journey through leveraging your personality type. Next, choose simplicity over complexity. It's so easy to get full of ideas and to expand endlessly this creep crawl of new ideas, new possibilities, new paths, new avenues that you can take, that it gets quite overwhelming. And for me, I've learned that if I just take that image and kind of move it back, like physically with my hands, move it away in mental space, it feels better. When I get overwhelmed by all these like minute details that I'm trying to piece together, that's one thing that I've done. And knowing that if you simplify things to what is truly important to you, then all that complexity doesn't really matter. If you lean into the Pareto principle of 20% of what you're doing is giving you 80% of the benefit, then really narrow it down. What do you really want out of this project? Why are you making this art, this music? What is so important about that to you? Once you've simplified that, then the complexity is something that you can eventually add on more if that's what you want to do. Once you've acclimated and learned and figured out what you want, then you can start adding different layers onto it. And one of the most difficult ones is to choose depth over breadth. So again, our explorer wants breadth. It wants to pick up 20 new projects. We naturally get excited by all these new things. Like when we start a new project, we get a new idea, we get a new piece of paper, and we're ready to draw something or whatever it is. It's so invigorating. It's so fun. And our perceiver energy gets this big hit, this big boost of energy. And we're like, yes, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. And then it peters out because we've kind of already conceptually finished it in our mind. And that's where the fun stuff is. Actually doing the task is not appealing. So we pick up a new project, we pick up a new idea, and we pursue that for another 20 minutes, and then we go on to something else. For me personally, I'm naturally always going to lean into role-playing games and self-development. And so I can play within that sandbox, and I can focus my energies on that. And there are so many different facets within that that I could endlessly explore. I don't need to go learn architecture in some other domain, although that is good for lateral ideation, like picking something up from one area and then kind of seeing what are the similarities, what are the differences, and how can I apply that to my project. We need to do that intentionally. We need to say, okay, let me go explore another domain and take from there my learnings and apply it to my current project or process. If it's not intentional, then it's going to be sloppy, and it's going to be what most of us experience quite often, is just adding more to it and picking up things from all over the place and just getting excited about it and kind of letting the idea cannon shoot us wherever it wants to. And that is not a way to make good progress if that's what you want to do. If you're just doing it for fun and you absolutely care nothing about the end game, then that's fine too. So a few hacks that you can do to enhance your creativity. So first, declutter your workspace. This is your phone workspace, your computer, your table, your mental workspace. Declutter, minimize, minimalism, like get rid of all these distractions. It is really difficult. I know. I mean, I'm looking, I've got a bunch of different tabs open on my browser over here and then in my notes over here. But I'm constantly reminding myself of, like, when I get flustered or too many ideas or overwhelmed by something, I'm like, okay, time to minimize, time to declutter, whether it's in mental space and I've got all these negative thoughts going on or these voices in my head of, like, things that happened yesterday. Take it out, move it away, use neurolinguistic programming, play with your mental space, and you can declutter. You can do emotional freedom technique, tapping, kinesthetic shift, pull emotions and negative things out and shift them around, play with them. There are tons of ways that you can reduce stress to declutter your mental space, but also declutter your physical environment and your technological space. We need the mess, is what we say. Like, if I look at this thing, then I can get a bunch of ideas and that will spark new ideas. And then I will have all this creativity. And that is how it works, but also it doesn't help with focus. It's very distracting if you're constantly getting a new idea from everything that you look at. So intentionally refine and define what is important to you that you want around you for idea generation. Number two, limit your tools. If you limit the amount of different things that you can use, then it's going to help you focus on that. Because if I'm like, well, I can use every color, whatever your medium is, reduce it, limit it. And specifically with time, you know, I was talking before about how perceivers get this big boost of energy and we want to, you know, put all of ourselves into that and then we kind of peter off. If you limit your tools and limit your time, then you can work within that excited energy and say, well, how could I do this? How could I make it work? You get to problem solve it and you get to put more of your focus and energy and creativity into getting it done. Next, focus on one project. If you focus on this one and this one and this one, you're going to spread out your energy and it's like a diffused light. instead of a laser beam. Okay, they have different purposes. If that's what you want, that's fine. That's what you want. But if you focus on one or two projects, that has been the best for me. So like Path of Heroes Academy, it's a course that teaches all different 8 cognitive functions, gamifies them. You create characters and use those for problem solving and self-development. That's one project. And then I have the INFP Masterclass. That's another one. If I focus on the INFP Masterclass, then in the background, Path of Heroes Academy, the ideas kind of generate and they bubble up. And then if I get a little bit bored with this, I can move over to another one. To me, that's okay. Okay. When I say one project, I'm not saying like specifically only one, because I don't think that's possible for us. But limiting it, you know, instead of reading 15 books at the same time, read one, maybe two. Bounce back and forth if you get distracted. Or if you just like kind of get a little fed up with it and you're like, I need to change. Okay, go change to the other thing that is going to move the needle forward in your life and make progress. And the last one is to start before you're ready. Perfectionism is a horrible disease. It's a horrible thing. You're perfect. But in terms of perfectionism and the way that we're thinking about this, of like my art piece, my music, my dance, my lyrics need to be perfect, that is not going to happen. If you somehow manage to make it happen, all that time and energy wasted on trying to like min-max it is going to stop you from making progress in all these other different domains, all these different projects. And this is a lesson that I learned in a hard way, okay? I know I'm talking a lot about my courses, but I'm doing this because one, they're good and they're going to help you. But two, it's important to understand my approach to these so that I can share my insights that I've gotten. The INFP Masterclass, I did a survey, 100 people. I got feedback from it. Like these are the struggles that we're having from other INFPs. And then I use that to make the course. Okay, this is a problem. Let me tackle that in the course. Good, 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 good. Made progress. Speed of implementation. I took action on it. Path of Heroes Academy, I spent like 6-7 years thinking about it. That's a long time. That's a long, long time and a lot of wasted time. Now, there were some benefits that I got from it. I learned some new things from other domains that I was able to put into the course. And that's really good. But if I would have done it and got feedback faster, then I would have made progress on it faster. Because I waited, the feedback is a lot slower. It took a lot longer for me to get that. So it hasn't gotten to like version 3 or version 10 as fast as it could. And that's where really the min-maxing and changes and perfectionism approach really benefits you. But on step 1, version 1, it doesn't. Get it out there. Get feedback. Put many, many small bets out there and see what works and learn a lot of skills along the way. Simplifying the creative process isn't the easy path, but it definitely makes your work more profound, more fulfilling, and allows you to do more of what is important to you. If you're constantly struggling to achieve the goals that you want, that's not how you're going to be happy and fulfilled. You're going to be the starving artist for the rest of your life, and that's not good. You want to do the things that are important to you and put the value out into the world and get some sort of return on it, whether it's emotional return, like people are appreciating it and loving it and saying thank you, or getting moved by it emotionally, or whether it's a financial return. So these have been some tips and tricks and mindsets that have really helped me along my journey to embrace my creativity. And through that, I've had to simplify the creative process. And I don't feel that that is limiting me in any way. So I suggest that you try it on. Remember, focus over fragmentation, simplicity over complexity, depth over breadth, declutter your workspace, limit your tools, focus on one project, and stop with the perfectionism. Get it out. Release it. Whatever metaphor works best for you. And if you want more videos like this, where you can understand more on how to utilize your personality type, you can check out the video over here. All right, good luck. Have fun. Peace.
Thanks for listening, and I hope you got something out of it.
I know that by listening to this podcast, it means that you're ready to take your life to the next level, and I'm so excited to help you do it. Whether you're struggling with anxiety, lack of motivation, or you're just looking for your spark and purpose, I have many courses and a one-on-one coaching service available to you to help you get out of your own way and be happy. So head on over to geekpsychology.com to get started. See you there.